Again, I'd like to welcome everybody that's here tonight. It's nice to see everyone. My name is Luke Hurley High, and I'll be opening for Doug. Doug Bain, I guess, who I just met. Before we open God's Word and try our best to share a message, we're just going to ask for God's help in the meeting. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we would be nothing without Him. We sang of how there's now no condemnation. We know that's completely because our sins were faced by Christ. And He took them before You and He paid for them. So we just pray that You'd give us help to try and relay this message tonight. And we pray that You'd use our words and that there'd be power beyond what we say. We pray that You would save us all, not for our glory, but for Yours tonight. And we just give thanks for Your love. We're thankful that You ever saved us. In Your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a couple of verses I'm going to read. We'll start in Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to try and relate them to a story of something that happened to me last week. I don't usually have a gospel message this way, but we'll try it and see how it goes. Acts chapter 4, you guys probably know the verse I'm going for. It's a very common one. Verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and it reads, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I think it's good to think about a verse when you read it. And we're going to think about it just for a second. We're going to look at a few things. We see that there's the word salvation in this verse. And anybody who knows anything about the concept of salvation knows that you need to be saved from something. Salvation doesn't exist without there being an opposite, without there being something dangerous. So there's salvation that we discuss. Then there's a name, and it's a name that's given. And then we see at the end, we must be saved. These are just simple things in this verse. And I'm sure you guys know exactly what they mean. I don't think I need to explain too much, but we're just going to think about them for a second in the simplest way possible. Salvation. We know, and we're going to talk about it further, that we're sinners. We're just diving right in here. We are sinners. Romans tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that we must be saved based on this verse. This is self-explanatory, but I want to think about this name just for a second. We already sang about the Savior of sinners, Christ. And I want you to just think about Him. There's lots that could be said about His name by smarter people than me. I'm not a genius, but I know that His name is special. And I know to the Jews, if they had have believed in Him, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a lot there, a lot to unpack. I'm not really here to do that tonight, but I want to think of the fact that He was given, just for a second. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And it amazes me every time I think that God, the Creator of the universe, the most powerful being ever, created billions of people. He created animals. He created everything. And He cared enough about us. He cared enough about me and you, that He gave. What did He give? He gave this name, right? This name is naming, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. The God of heaven loved you enough that He sent His Son. He gave His Son to live among men, whereby we must be saved. So that's just a very simple explanation of that verse. And now we're going to try this story thing. So I'm a metal worker, we'll say. I went to school to be a machinist. I do a lot of welding now. I've been working with Bennett quite a bit lately, fixing up rusty trucks. That's been our thing lately. And anybody who knows anything about working with metal knows that there's a lot of particles that fly around. We use grinders, there's welders, there's sparks. There's danger involved. And that's just the nature of the work. You can wear all the safety gear. Well, I shouldn't say that. You can wear normal safety gear and you're still going to get hurt sometimes. If you wear too much safety gear, you'll probably not get your work done. But that's a topic for another time. But my point is, the nature of my work as a welder, there's danger involved. I want to relate that to our nature. Because we've already talked about Romans. And I'm sure if we're all honest with ourselves, we can look inside and we can agree with that verse in Romans that says all have sinned. I'm sure you can probably look in your heart and you can think of evil thoughts you've had. You can probably think of evil things you've done. And you know that it is in your nature that you're a sinner. We know that sin needs to be punished. We know that God hates sin. In Revelation, it talks about heaven and it talks about how there's nothing that can defile that will enter. And if we look at ourselves, there's lots of things that defile, isn't there? If we're honest with ourselves. So my work, the nature of it is that it's dangerous. And us, as humans, as sinners, our nature brings us to a place of danger. We're headed straight there. We know that place is called hell. There's nothing we can do to change our nature in ourselves, is it? That's probably something we'll talk about as we go, but there's nothing that I can do as a welder to make being a welder any different. There's going to be sparks. There's going to be metal chunks flying. There's going to be danger. And there's nothing we can do as sinners to change the fact that we are sinners. There's nothing. That's just a fact. We are sinners. So, I was working on a truck. I forget which one. It was probably a Ford F-350. I was doing cab corners on it. I think it was that one. And I was cutting with the grinder, and sure enough, a piece of rust bounced off my forehead, bounced off the safety glasses, and right into my eye. Now, I wasn't going to let that stop me. We finished the day's work, and I went home, and as I usually do when I get something in my eye, I try to get it out. You know, you start with water and a syringe maybe sometimes, you try to squirt it out, and that doesn't work, and then you step up a notch, and I figure if the doctors can do it, I can do it too. I take a Q-tip, and I usually try and swipe it out, and I couldn't get it. Sometimes I'll take a toothpick, and then I'll kind of roll it across, not the pointy end. Sometimes it works. I tried all these things, and I got the piece to move. But do you think I could get that piece out? I could not. So, I tried something else. I tried to ignore it. And I don't know how well you guys relate to this, but I know how well I relate to this. I was saved at 19 years old. There was a lot of ignoring going on in those first years of my life because I knew I was a sinner. I knew I had a problem. I knew that there was something that needed to be dealt with. But did I want to deal with it then and there? No, I didn't. How many people are like that here? You know you're a sinner. You know that at some point, it's going to have to be dealt with because you know you don't want to face judgment. But you're ignoring it. I want to tell you something about sin. I've been reading in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians compares sin to yeast. We know when it comes to yeast that it makes things grow, right? It makes you watch your mother make bread. I've watched my mother bake bread lots of times, and my wife now, she bakes bread as well. And they put the dough in the it's not a pot, whatever. And they throw a towel over it and they walk away, and you come back a little while later and it's huge. It's grown. And sin is like that. Sin never stays stagnant. So maybe you're at a place where you think you're doing pretty good with your life. You're just carrying on. You're keeping those sinful thoughts and sinful actions. You're kind of keeping them under a towel. You're doing pretty good. I can tell you this from experience. It's going to grow. Things are going to change. And maybe you think you're doing pretty good and salvation is something that's within your grasp, and when you need it, you're going to get it. But you are getting further and further from God. You're getting deeper and deeper into sin. Proverbs talks about, Proverbs chapter 5, it talks about how our own sins chain us. And I should turn to the verse so I don't mess it up. But Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 are the two verses I'm thinking of. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Really, the more sin we do, the tighter we're wrapped. The harder it is to break free. And we know that we could never break free ourselves. And really, this verse 23 gives us that idea. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Really, the idea of the fact that our sins are taking us down. There's nothing we can do about it. The more we try, the tighter we're wrapped. The tighter we're stuck. And that is exactly what my eye was like. The more I tried, the worse it got. I tried to ignore it. My eye got irritated. It was painful. It was annoying. I tried to remove it. I've done this in the past too. You try with the toothpick and you actually do get the sharp end. It hurts. There's nothing you can do in some situations like that. And when it comes to sin, there's absolutely nothing you can do. You are without strength, like Romans tells us. And the more you try, the deeper you get. So, I got to a point with my eye where I realized it wasn't going to get better on its own. I realized that I wasn't going to get it out myself. And I had to go to the doctor. Most men don't like the doctor, and I'm one of them. I hate the doctor. But I went. It was actually last Sunday. I went to outpatients. I sat in the waiting room. And I finally got to see triage, and I told them what happened. They whisked me right into a room, and an hour and a half later, I was out. My eye was fixed. They put some freezing drops in, they took a Q-tip, and they zoomed right in with their magnifying glass and swiped it out first try. It was easy as anything. And that's something that I want to get across. First off, I realized I couldn't help myself. And that's a point that if you're ever going to be saved, you have to know that you're not going to help yourself. You are not going to save yourself. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself better in God's sight. Nothing. There's nothing I could do to help myself with my eye. I tried, and I failed. So I realized I was without strength, just like Romans tells us we are as sinners. And I remember this from being an unsaved person. I remember how uncomfortable the thought was of facing my sins. I remember thinking about how uncomfortable it would be to tell somebody that I wanted to be saved. I remember thinking it would be the awkwardest thing ever. Well, my eye, I was dreading going to the doctor, because you know every time you go to the doctor, it's not enjoyable. But the anticipation was way worse than the act. And you want to know something? Carrying that speck around in my eye was a lot worse than going to the doctor. Now relating it to you and me. From my own experience, I know that actually facing your sins is much, much easier than carrying them. And if you are even considering the fact that you'd like to be saved, bring it to somebody. Tell them. Bring it to God. Pray. Act. Don't just wait. Don't just don't just try to ignore. Don't try to clean yourself up. Do what God says and just confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Bring them to the one who can actually do something about them, because you can't. It's uncomfortable to face, but once it's faced, instant relief. I'll tell you, I felt that speck come out of my eye. He showed me on the Q-tip. He said, "I don't know if I can see that." I said, "I know it's gone." And that's what sins are like. I remember the day I was saved. I was struggling. I just told my testimony in Rosebank last week. So this is, I guess, fresh in my mind. Some of you guys were there and you heard it. I was sitting at my desk. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I was doing everything I could, trying to figure it out. That's how my brain works. I was trying and trying and trying. And that weight of sins got heavier by the minute. And then I turned to the verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And it says, "The wages of sin is death." And at that moment, I realized, I had, for the first time in my life, I faced my sins, and I realized that they were taking me to hell, and I deserved to be there. Have you ever had that moment? Have you ever realized that you deserve to be in hell? That your actions, your sins, separate you from God? And if you ended up in hell, you would be completely deserving of it. Because I realized that, and it was the worst thing I've ever experienced. The worst realization I've ever had. But it only lasted a split second, because I realized that I was a sinner, and I deserved to be in hell. And then I thought of those words, number 35 in that hymn book, "Down from the glory the Savior came," that song. "Jesus died for me." Instant relief. Salvation's not a feeling, but man, you feel those sins go. Fixing my eye, that speck going, it was not a feeling, but I felt it go. Your sins need to be dealt with. That speck in my eye needed to be dealt with. You can't do it yourself. You need to go to someone who can. We read about that one, the Savior, that name which was given. He was given for you. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy our pardon. We sang that song sometimes, and I enjoy the words. God's Son came, and He came to die for you. That's the simplicity of it. If you'll accept Him, then you'll be saved. Face it tonight. Don't put it off.